It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, it's nice to feel good about it, right? And all sunshine and rainbows, right? And so Notre Dame's going to go 16-0 and win a national championship, right? That's what we're all hoping for. Well, that's the good part. Now here's some question marks, because there are still some questions that this football team has to answer. There's still, and we'll also talk about some position battles, but there are certainly some questions that, to me, the degree to which they are answered will determine how good this football team can be. And that is the part where it's like, okay, we think they're going to be good, but how good? Well, that's going to be determined a lot by some of these questions that we're going to have. And the first one, the big, you know, it's concerns, questions, however you want to phrase it. These are things that just need to be better or need to be solidified by the time we get to the fall camp or into the season. And number one, and is Riley Leonard's ankle. I know there's some people that I'm not a believer in Riley Leonard, and that's fine. That's okay. I understand it. And you know, I get people are we have very short attention spans right now as a species. And we forget, Notre Dame's never had a transfer quarterback. Sam Hartman's the only guy we've ever seen. Well, okay, well, they had one a couple years ago. It was pretty good and led them to an 11-1 record and Jack Cohn. And I would argue the talent around Riley Leonard is going to be a lot better than it was around Jack Cohn. And so we have seen guys come here and have career years playing for Notre Dame as transfer quarterbacks. And I think Riley Leonard's capable of that. But at the end of the day, if his right ankle isn't healed and his mind isn't healed from the injured right ankle, then he's not going to be the player he's capable of. And I think that's something that could keep this team from being as good as they can be in 2024.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was asked this question during a buy sell hold last week. You know, do you think Notre Dame can win a championship with CJ Carr? To something like that. And I said, yeah, I think they will, just because of what I view of this program and the trajectory it's on. But I also feel the same way about Kenny Minchie. I certainly think those guys are both capable of leading Notre Dame to a championship. I don't believe that that's in 2024. I don't think either one of them are ready to be that guy in 2024, which is ultimately why the Notre Dame coaching staff went to the portal for a guy like Riley Leonard, because Riley Leonard, if he simply repeats his 2022 season, has a chance to make this team really, really good and certainly a playoff team that can make a run. If Riley Leonard can then improve his game and become an even better version of what we saw in 2022, and not just from the standpoint of being better because the town around him is better, but I'm also referring to being better because his game is improved. Like, Riley Leonard could be the exact same guy he was in 2022, and his production is going to be a lot better because he has better weapons and better talent around him. That's not what I'm referring to. So it's not an improved production. It's improved play. Your production could be greater and your play be worse. Your production could be worse and your play could be better. I keep hearing about how Sam Hartman hurt himself in a big way coming to Notre Dame, and I'm like, well, why? Well, he didn't win a lot of games. He went 9-3, and that's, you know, kind of what the second most wins he's ever had in a season in his career. Well, he didn't play very well. He didn't throw for a bunch of yards, but he set career highs in yards per attempt and passer rating. So the guy didn't come here and suck. He wasn't what we hoped he would be. But he didn't go undrafted because of his tenure at Notre Dame, I don't believe. And so to me, when I look at Sam Hartman or Riley Leonard, it's not so much about the production. The production could be worse. The production could be better. And it doesn't mean that your play is better or worse. He could produce more and not be as good as he was 2 years ago. And so that's a major question mark. And I really think his ankle and his mental view of his ankle is the key. Because it's one thing for your ankle to get back to being fully healthy. That's obviously a big part of it. And then to build up the strength around the ankle, you know, it's not just, okay, my ankle's healthy, but making sure that your muscles around your ankle are healthy from the time off and that you're not putting those things at greater risk. That's an important piece of it. So the health part is key number one. But number two is sometimes football players, especially guys who were of a certain skill set, they'll have an injury to something that was key to that skill set. And they'll be a little hesitant to maybe put themselves in harm's way, whether it's a shoulder and guys don't want to really mix it up anymore. In the case of Riley Leonard, it's an ankle that he had to have multiple surgeries on. Is he going to have the same fearless type of running style? Is he going to be willing to tuck the ball as much as he did at Duke? Is he going to be willing to try to make people miss like he was at Duke? Will he try to run people over like he did at Duke? Those are all questions that we don't know the answer to. We know he can do it when healthy, but we don't know how healthy he's going to be, and we don't know where his mind is going to be. That's the big thing. So if he doesn't not only get healthy, but also get back his confidence in that ankle and be willing to be the player he was at Duke to some degree, then the offense isn't going to be as good as it's capable of being. And so to me, that is still without question my biggest concern about this offense is Riley Leonard's ankle and his faith in that ankle and how that impacts his game. I think that's going to be a very, very key ingredient to how good this football team is going to be this year. Number two, the offensive line is still a work in progress. I'll say this about the offensive line. The offensive line made strides this offseason. There's no doubt in my mind. They were better at the end of the spring than they were at the beginning of the spring. And I would argue they were they're further ahead than where I had kind of projected them to be at the end of spring. They're not even close to being a finished product, which we'll get into, but they're further along than where they were. And I saw some people when we were having this debate on the message board, and they were like, well, look, you know, they can't play like that in the fall. Well, they don't play. This is April, right? They're not playing in the fall. This is part of the building process of this line. Notre Dame's offensive line goal wasn't by the end of spring to be ready to play Texas A&M tomorrow. It was, let's get better. Let's have some battles. Let's learn. Let's get rid of some bad habits, establish some good habits. Let's improve our game and then head into the offseason feeling like, okay, we took a big step here. Now let's take the next step in the summer, and then let's take the next step in the fall. I believe they took a step. There's a lot of work to be done, but they took a step. Having said that, that's just one step. If they don't take the next couple steps, then the offensive line won't be as good. If some of the questions that we have about certain position battles, which we'll get into, if Billy Shrouth and Ashton Craig aren't as good as we hope that they are, if Charles Jagasol's not as good as we hope he can be, if Rocco Spindler doesn't build on him, there's a lot of things that need to happen where, yes, I feel a lot better about the offensive line coming out of the spring than I thought going into it. And when I graded the blue gold game, I saw a lot of things that I was encouraged by. I saw a line that was playing more physical than it did in the fall. I saw a line that was moving its feet through contact a lot better. Snap here, snap there. But overall, the line did a lot better job of driving their feet through contact. I saw an offensive line that's learning how to use its hands more effectively. I saw an offensive line that still has work to do from a communication standpoint, but took some strides, did some nice things, picking up some of the pressures, missed some as well. So again, very, very much a work in progress, but I saw things from this line that made me say, okay, if Coach Rudolph can build on that, then they're going to have a chance to be a pretty good offensive line at some point in time during the season, but they'll be good enough in the fall, at the beginning of the fall, to go out there and win a lot of games. And then if they can kind of, you know, get to that point and say, hey, here we go, let's do this, then this team has a chance to be really, really good. But we don't know the answer to that yet. And while I am pleased with the growth we saw from the offensive line, they're still very much a work in progress. And so that's still a question mark about this football team is, yes, the offensive line took strides, but if they just kind of stay where they are now, they won't be good enough. They have to get better and better and better. And so that's a question mark. And then another one for me, you went back and you listened to what I talked about the offensive line. There's a lot of good stuff there in the offense. The wide receiver position. There's a lot of good stuff there. Love Jaden Greathouse stepping up as the number one. There's talent here. There's talent there. But I still have concerns about how good this unit is going to be. They are still very much a work in progress. If you go back and watch the spring game, Notre Dame defensively did not show you everything that they do. They did not show you everything that we saw in the scrimmage. They did not show you everything that I saw watching film last year. They didn't have Benjamin Morrison. We saw very little of Jack Kaiser in the spring game. We saw very little of Riley Mills and Howard Cross. So those things have to be understood. There's no Rod Hurd yet. Those things have to be understood when you're talking about what we did see from the wide receivers. I saw a lot of flashes this spring from the receivers, including the scrimmage, which was more of Al Golden showing who he is. We saw Cam Williams score a touchdown pass in the scrimmage. We saw, you know, Chris Mitchell show some things. We saw Deon Colsey step up in the blue gold game and perform well. We saw Jade Greathouse play at a high level. We saw KK Smith do some things in both of those moments. So they certainly showed growth, and they certainly showed potential. But I still have questions about, okay, just how good is the unit going to be as a whole? And there's a couple aspects of that. Number one is Mike Brown has to continue enhancing this unit fundamentally. There's still a lot this group is learning as far as how to win and how to play the game. That's still very much a work in progress, number one. Number two, how is this unit going to play together? Are they going to be in situations where the rotation, they know they're comfortable with the rotation. This guy can play here. This guy can play there. Or do they have to kind of put guys in spots and that you, all you know is Z and all you know is slot and all you know is X? Or are they going to kind of grow mentally enough and tech and fundamentally enough to where they can move around more as a unit? How will they handle the rotation to where they're getting enough guys in there to have the depth you need to utilize your different skill sets, but then also making sure that you're also not preventing guys from getting into a rhythm? That's another question, and we don't know how that's going to go right now. And then the second part is, I feel like Jaden Greathouse stepped up as a playmaker, and I love the fact that Micah Gilbert had some moments, and KK had some moments, and Chris Mitchell had some moments. But from what I saw in the spring game and then also the jersey scrimmage, I still feel like there's a lot of room for this receiving core to get better. They're going to have to get better. The good news is they're being tested every day by a really good secondary. But I need Chris Mitchell to take another step forward from what he did in the spring. I think he got his feet wet in the spring. You know, competition and practice every day is a little different at Notre Dame than it is at Florida International. We didn't see Bo Collins. We didn't see Jordan Faison, so that's going to help. You know, we saw Deion Coles. He was kind of up and down. Jaden Thomas got hurt again. You know, KK Smith is still learning a lot about the game, although he showed great potential. There's still a lot of questions about who steps up beside Jaden Greathouse. Does Chris Mitchell kind of take that next step as a player? Does Deion Coles show himself to be the guy he was in the scrimmage, the jersey scrimmage, which is just kind of like, okay, just kind of going through the motions? Or are we going to see more of the Deion Coles that we saw in the spring game? Or are we going to see the Deion Coles that you never know which version of him you're going to get? If, you know, so that's still a question mark. Jaden Thomas will come back healthy this summer. He'll have a great summer sessions. He'll look great in fall camp because when Jaden Greathouse is healthy, he's a good football player. But can he actually stay healthy? That's the question. We don't know the answer to that yet. And so there are still a lot of questions that need to be answered. Can Cam Williams and Micah Gilbert build on their rookie springs? Yes, they showed some good things in the spring, but if we're talking about, are they ready to go out there and beat Georgia? Are they ready to go out there and beat Texas? Are they ready to go out there and move the ball in the Ohio State defense today, April 30th? No, they're not. But they don't have to be ready to win those games by April 30th. But moving forward, Chris Mitchell needs to play better. Deion Coles has to be more consistent. Bo Collins has to find his role, whether that's as a starter and as the guy or as a part of the rotation. We need to see KK Smith keep getting better, and the two freshmen need to get better. And then they've got to figure out where can they fit Jordan Faison into this whole thing. Those are all question marks to me that have to get answered. I like the talent. I like the depth of talent. What's different this year is they're not just relying on one or two guys. It's not like in 2022, boy, if Deion Coles and Lorenzo Styles don't step up, boy, they're in trouble. Neither of them did. If Kevin Austin doesn't step up in 2021, boy, they're in trouble. You know, if Jaden Thomas and Deion Coles don't step up in 2023, they're in trouble. And a lot of times those guys didn't step up or not enough stepped up. And this year it's a little different because, yes, you still need those things to happen, but now it's Chris Mitchell, Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison, KK Smith, Deion Coles, Jaden Thomas, Bo Collins, Jordan Faison, Cam Williams, Micah Gilbert. You have 11 guys that you could look at and say, I can see that guy making an impact for this football team. I can see that. Whereas in the past, it was like three or four. And then it was after that, it was like sometimes two or three. And then after that, it was like young guys. Like last year, it was, boy, they need converted running back Chris Tyree. They need sophomore one career catch Tobias Merriweather. And they need Jaden Thomas, who's been injured, and Deion Coles has been injured, and the true freshman to all play well. That was a lot of ifs. The ifs this year are more ifs with established players. So that gives me greater confidence. But until we see it, I do think it's fair for us all to have a little bit of a healthy skepticism about this receiving core. I think two things can be true. And you guys tell me what you think about this. I think that you can say, I'm excited about this receiving core. Excited about this receiving core. There's speed. There's different body types. There's different skill sets. They've got volume guys. They've got speed guys. They've got big guys. They've got after the catch guys. They've got strong guys. They've got smooth guys. They have all different types of players. They have a lot of depth. There's 11 guys that right now you look at and say, boy, that's some talent right there. We can say that in one breath and then say there's a lot to prove as a unit in Notre Dame uniform from this group, and I need to see it before I'm going to get too excited. I think those things are not at odds. I think they're both true. I am excited about the talent in the room. If Chris Mitchell's who we hope he is, if Jaden Greathouse builds on this, if Jordan Faison comes back to good speed, if KK is what I think he is, if Deion Colsey, the light goes on, if Bo Collins is as good as I think he's going to be, Jaden Thomas is healthy. I mean, all the freshmen are legit. All these things are true. Boy, they're going to be really good. But right now, we're still talking about if those things happen. And until we see those things actually do happen, then there's still an understandable lack of skepticism, and there's still a level of they're going to have to concern. Now, the thing that I'll tell you guys, and I'll give you a little bit inside scoop on this one, I am quite confident that the Notre Dame coaching staff likes the progress they made, but also is very well aware that this receiving corps has a long way to go. And I'll have more on that here in the next couple of weeks as I get more intel. But I'm pretty comfortable saying that this coaching staff is very well aware that this receiving corps is just now starting to scratch the surface of the understanding of what it takes to be a championship unit, and that there's a long way to go. That's a good thing, because if you don't truly understand that your unit needs to still get a lot better from a player level and especially coaching level, then you can start to kind of feel good about yourselves and say, hey, we're pretty good. But when there's a recognition that, hey, we did some nice things, but we're not even close to where we need to be, then you feel like there's going to be that push from the coaching staff to say, hey, guys, this ain't good enough. And so to me, that's a big part of it is there is that awareness. I'm quite confident of that from talking to different people, that there is an awareness that, hey, we like the growth, but they need to be here. And they started here. They grew to here. Now they got to get to here. And so that's still obviously a work in progress. And so those are the things that I look at this and say, those are still questions. You know, how's Riley Leonard going to fit into the offense? What's the offense going to look like with Riley Leonard compared to what it looked like with the other three quarterbacks? How's the run game going to look? We pretty much just saw inside zone all day. You know, that's not going to be in the scrimmages and especially the blue gold game. Well, that's not what it's going to be in the fall. They're going to be a heavy inside zone team, but we're going to see some different things. How's Mitchell Evans going to fit into this offense when he gets back? What's Bo Collins going to do when he gets back? What are some of the concepts that Mike Denbrock maybe hasn't shown us yet that we're going to see from this team in the fall? So there's still a lot of question marks about this unit. But at the end of the day, I feel like they've made some strides.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's talk, as we kind of get close to wrapping this up, let's talk about some position battles that are still going to have to be had this spring. And so here's those position battles that are in the fall. Here's the position battles to me that are still raging that are going to have an impact on how good this football team is going to be. The first one's obvious. We talk about it all the time. It's right tackle. The right tackle battle to me is important. And honestly, I don't care who wins it. I just want someone to win it. And right now, nobody's winning it. What do I mean by winning it? Someone's going to start. But just because you start doesn't mean you won a battle. Not the way that I mean it. It could be two guys play terrible, and you play the guy that's least terrible. That's not good. That happens at Notre Dame. That happens at other places. But we've seen that happen in Notre Dame where it's like, well, that guy won the job. I'm using air quotes here for those not watching. But he won because of the two bad options. He was the best of the bad options. Winning the job is I go out there and I earn it with my play. I establish myself as a force. I handle my job. I grade out high. I grade out consistently. I eliminate the bad mistakes. I eliminate the technique mistakes, the MAs. I don't have those plays where I'm good. Oh, shoot. I don't touch this guy getting out of my stance and he hits my quarterback. That stuff's got to go. Whether we're talking about Tosh Baker, whether we're talking about Emil Wagner, whatever the case may be, you're looking at it and saying, hey, somebody's got to win the job. Tosh was kind of that number one guy all spring, but Emil Wagner finished the spring off on a high level. I don't know who that's going to be. Somebody's got to win the job. I don't care if it's Gerby Lambert. I don't care if it's moving Sullivan Abshur over. I don't care if it's Styles Prescott. I don't care who it is, but somebody has to go out there in fall camp and say, this job is mine, and I'm going to be the starting right tackle, not because you're playing poorly, but because I'm playing well. And so that battle will rage in fall camp, and that could have a big say on how good this team is going to be. I got another one, and Jason Smith just mentioned this in the chat as well. I think left guard's another one. I was very happy when the coaching staff moved Rocco Spindler to left guard. Not because I dislike Pat Coogan, not because I can't wait till Pat Coogan's out of the lineup. There's two reasons why I was happy about that. Number one, there's no way they move last year's starting right guard to left guard if the current starting right guard has not said, this one's mine. Just what we were talking about. Billy Shrouth is going to start at right guard this year, barring some setback. Well, why? It's not because of all the options he's the least bad. It's because he went out this spring and said, this is mine. This is my job, and it's my job because of how I play. So what does Joe Rudolph do? He could have just said, okay, well, we'll just have Rocco be your backup and just play Pat Coogan at left guard because he was our 13-game starter. No, they moved Rocco to left guard. And so I feel a lot more confident that the right guard position is going to be a strength because of the way that Billy went out and said, it's mine, because he's very talented. He got 3 games of experience last year, which benefited him a ton. So you're saying, okay, Billy, lock that sucker down. He started 3 games. He beat out the guy that played 10 games last year, right? Who's older than he is. That's huge. Boom. Right guard, I think, is going to be good, barring a setback. So now you put Rocco to left guard. Now that makes me even happier because now I feel like there's a much better chance that left guard becomes a strength. Now that doesn't mean that because of Rocco, although I will say this, I'm just being honest, if Pat Coogan and Rocco Spindler both play to their full potential, I believe Rocco Spindler is the better player. I think he's the more physical player. I think he's the bigger player. I just think he's the overall better player. As I've said a million times, his highs last year were better than Pat Coogan's highs last year. The problem was his lows were lower than Pat Coogan's lows last year. So if Rocco goes to left guard and plays to his potential, then he'll win the left guard job. I wholeheartedly believe that if it's a real battle, and I believe that it is. And so then Rocco takes over. Now you've got 329-pound left tackle Charles Jagasol. You got 325-pound left guard Rocco Spindler, and you got yourself a power side. And I love that. The other part of it too is now you increase your running game and you become a more physical line. But now you've now can then turn Pat Coogan into sort of your utility guy. If Rocco goes down or doesn't play well, Pat's ready to step in. If Billy goes down or doesn't play well, Pat can step in. If the center goes down or doesn't play well, you could put Pat in there if you wanted to do that. So you've made yourself, if Rocco wins the job, you've made yourself better because not only is Rocco starting, but now Pat can be sort of that move all around swing guy. And that's where he brings the most value. That's option number one. That makes me feel like left guard's going to be better. Option number two is Rocco goes out this spring, builds on what he did in the spring. But Pat raises his level play, and Pat beats him out, genuinely beats him out. If Pat Coogan beats out Rocco Spindler, that means Pat Coogan's going to be a lot better than he was in 2023. That's also a win Now, do I think the offensive line can be at its full potential with Pat Coogan at guard? No, I don't, because I think that requires Rocco to get to his full potential. However, if Pat Coogan is a better version of himself or the best version of himself, that's still a quality football player. That's still someone you can have a really good offensive line with. So if Pat Coogan's the starting left guard because of it, through a genuine battle, he won the job, then I'm going to be okay with that because it means he got better and he's in a position to help you out a lot more. So, but I do think those battles being won by someone who really takes hold of it is going to be key to success for this Notre Dame football team. Number two tight end is a battle that I expect to rage going into fall camp because I don't think we're going to see a ton of 13 personnel next year. We'll see some. I don't think Mike Denbrock's going to abandon 13 personnel, especially when we get into the red zone, a goal line, and short yardage. But in normal downs and distances, we're not going to see as much of that. So who steps up and wins that number two job? And then how does that impact the team? And if it's Eli Raridan, if it's Cooper Flanagan, that's a battle I expect to see. The X receiver, that's the boundary receiver. That's an open position for me. Is it going to be a situation where maybe they move Jaden Greathouse over there? Do they put Chris Mitchell over there at times? Do they put K.K. Smith over there, you know, of guys to the field? Or does one of the guys that's there now step up and say, this is mine? Ironically, that was a position where a freshman kind of showed that this spring. The fact of the matter is Micah Gilbert outplayed the other players in the boundary this spring. And that's why when we saw the jersey scrimmage on the Saturday before the blue-gold game, he was the first X out on the field. And now that's not a good sign for Deion Colsey, but then Deion went out in the spring game and played really well. Micah also played pretty well, which means you have two guys that ended the spring on a high note. You're also going to get Jaden Thomas back. Now, to me, if those two guys can step up just alone, I'm going to get to another guy here in a minute, but if those two guys step up and play really well in the boundary, that then maybe frees you up to move Jaden Thomas around, and now Jaden Thomas can be sort of your do-it-all player at receiver, which makes that unit better, because that fits his skill set better. Then you're adding Bo Collins to the mix, and Bo will be here this summer. He's been around all spring because he finished his classes while still in South Bend. But can he take his game to another level? Can he battle? Can he push? Because here's the reality of the situation. As much as I love Micah Gilbert, I want him to play this year as a freshman. If one of the veterans passes him by, that's a great sign for Notre Dame because Micah Gilbert as a freshman does not have the same ceiling as Bo Collins, Deion Colsey as seniors, my opinion. Now, when Micah Gilbert's a senior, could he be better than what they were seniors? Absolutely. I think Micah Gilbert's got a very bright future at Notre Dame. But the ideal scenario in 2024, in my opinion, and this is not at all a knock on Micah Gilbert, it's just Bo and or Deion really breaking out makes this offense better. They're older. They've got more experience. They're longer. I just think that those guys have the higher upsides for this season. Then Micah can kind of be your rotation guy and still play and still help you, but you're not asking him to carry that position the way that you do now with him being the number one. Because in Mike Denbrock's offense, like last year, it wouldn't have mattered as much because the X wasn't that go-to position. It wasn't the go-to position in 2022 as much either. It was tight end in the slot last year. Mike Denbrock's offense is a little bit different. He spreads the ball around really well. I had some breakdowns of this. So on the message board, one of the premium breakdowns I did, which are only available to Irish Breakdown members, is I actually went down. So I charted the 9 Power 5 games that LSU played with Mike Denbrock. So it was the 8 SEC games plus Florida State. Didn't count Georgia State. Didn't count Grambling or Army because those games don't really matter. Like what you do schematically in those games doesn't tell me what you truly believe in. It's because you're just so much better than that team. So I took the 9 Power 5 games. And when I broke it down, I didn't say, you know, Malik Nabers caught the ball. I said what position caught the ball. Was it the X? Was it the Z? Was it the slot? Was it the tight end, the running back? And not who that player that who it is that from a player. So I would say, well, Malik Nabers is the slot. So whenever he catches the ball, that's a slot. No, if he was lined up at the X, counts as an X throw. If he was lined up as Z, counts as a Z throw. And what you'll see is I believe all three positions had over 40 catches in the nine games that I broke down. Some had more targets, but the boundary position was a lot more heavily utilized than what it has been at Notre Dame for the last few years. And so that to me is something you look at and say, that's going to put a lot more of a burden on the boundary position than what we've seen from for Notre Dame in several years. It used to be like that, where the boundary, you know, where the boundary position was really, really, really important and really needed to be that guy. And now it is that. And so that matters to me. That's a really important thing, that somebody steps up and becomes that guy in this offense. And if it's Micah Gilbert, great, good for him. But if it's one of the veterans, Bo Collins, Dean Colsey, that'll give me a little bit more certainty, confidence that position is going to be impactful enough for this offense to reach its full potential. I don't know that it can be that with a freshman, because I feel like if Micah wins the job, it's partly him winning it, but also partly because Bo and Deion weren't as good as we hoped that they would be. That's kind of where I'm at. So I think that's another one. Just overall wide receiver depth is going to be interesting. You know, who's the number two slot? Is it Faison? Is it Jaden Harrison? Does Faison maybe play some outside? Does K.K. Smith play outside? Where does Cam Williams force his way into the depth chart? Those are all interesting things. And then the last one is going to be for the number two quarterback job. That is still a battle that is going to rage. Right now, coming out of spring, as we kind of thought, Steve Angeli is still the number two quarterback. But his hold on that job is a lot more tenuous than it was coming into the spring. And the way that C.J. Carr played in the last two spring games that we saw, the way that Kenny Minchie battled back in the spring game with his God-given ability, that is going to be a battle into the fall. And that might not seem like one that matters, backup quarterback, but what was the biggest first concern we had? Can your starting quarterback be healthy? Is his ankle going to be healthy? Can he make it through a 16-game season? Is he going to be the same player he was? That's a legitimate question. So now it becomes even more important that your backup quarterback is someone who can come in and not just run the offense, but that can lead you to victory over the better teams in your schedule. And we'll find out who that is. It's obviously Steve is going to battle, Kenny's going to battle, and CJ is going to battle. So I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing how that shakes out. So I'm going to wrap this section up before we get into the recruiting part. And just look at it kind of like this, right? How am I feeling right now about the offense? I'll tell you how I'm feeling about it. This is more of an emotional reaction after what I saw with my own eyes, what I've heard from sources, you know, just evaluating the practices, evaluating the talent, all that type of stuff. I'm feeling very optimistic about the offense. There's a lot that has to get done. There's a lot of room to get better. I don't think this offense is going to go out in 2024 and score 45 to 48 points a game like some of the past LSU offenses. I don't think they're going to, you know, have a quarterback that throws for 3,800 yards and runs for 1,200. And I don't think we're going to see all that, partly because they're not going to need that, because their offense is going to, their defense is going to be way better. LSU had to do that last year. Notre Dame doesn't necessarily have to do that. But in order for it to be a championship football team, there's a lot of areas that have to get better. And you expect that on April 30th. But I think Mike Denbrock made a very smooth transition. I think the players picked up what he wants to do pretty well for 15 practices. Now you build on it. I think the offensive line competed this spring. I think the quarterback room was much better this spring than it was in the fall, like coming into the spring, getting to see Kenny Minchie perform and get more comfortable, getting to see CJ Carr show off his ability, to watch the talented receiver, the talented running back. It's one thing to think that they have those things, and a lot of it being based off what it was and what these guys were in high school. But when you see it with your own eyes, you're like, okay, yep, Jeremiah Love's what I thought he was. Jadarian Price is who I thought he was. Jaden Greathouse is who I thought I was. Those things are all important to see it. And so the offensive line needing to get better, Riley Leonard's ankle is just alone is enough for me to say, okay, I'm optimistic, but I'll say this. I mean, I think I had a major question mark about Joe Rudolph. I still do, because we still have to see a lot. But what I saw from them this spring, the way that the line played, the competitiveness, the physicality, the finishing, those are all great signs. Now they've got to clean up a lot of technical stuff. They've got to clean up a lot of fundamental stuff. But they took strides in those foundational things that were often missing last year. And that's a good sign. So I'm actually very optimistic about this offensive side of the ball. I think that Mike Denbrock's got a chance to really get this unit going. I liked what I saw from Mike Brown as a position coach. Understands the finer points of the game, drills them in a very practical manner every day. He's a teacher, not a yeller. I wish I was more of a less of a yeller when I was coaching. You know, I always was teaching, but like, you just watch how he goes about his business. It's calm, it's confident, it's assertive, but not aggressive. And I think receivers respond very well to that. And I was very impressed with what I saw from Mike Brown this spring. And I do think that position group is in good hands. So right now, today, Tuesday, April 30th, where am I on my feeling about the offense from where I was beginning of the offseason? A lot of the things I hoped we would see have been confirmed. The questions that I have more confidence they'll be answered than I did 2-3 months ago. And so I think this offense is trending in the right direction. A lot of work to be done, but I feel like this group is trending in a great, great direction. So that's going to wrap up part one of today's show. I hope you guys enjoyed that. We'll do a defensive version of this tomorrow, for tomorrow's show as well. Next, I'm going to do a little bit of recruiting. Looking forward to that. Those segments will be a lot shorter, so that'll be fun. So before we get to there, as a reminder, no mailbag today. If you have some questions that you want me to answer, I will answer them in a super chat form. I do have one super chat already, which I'll get to here in a little bit when we get into the recruiting set. Or actually, I'll probably do it at the beginning of the recruiting section, since it's not a recruiting question, and just kind of answer that question, then dive into the 2025 recruiting, my thoughts on the 2025 recruiting class, and then we'll wrap up with a film breakdown of Jadon Blair. So that'll be next. So before I go, folks, I'll take a little bit of a, you know, break here for about 30 seconds. But before we get back from that, before we go to that, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review. I would greatly appreciate that. And if you've not done so, we've had a lot of good signups from the message board this month. It's been a good month in that regard. And if you have not done so, I promise you, you are missing out on some really, really good stuff. So go do that at boards.irishbreakdown.com. We'll be right back.